Hey baby, do you come here often? Hey baby, now watch your sign.
The Colorado Rockies season starts tomorrow. And there's one pretty big problem. Just a little problem.
There's always a little problem when you put the Colorado Rockies name in people's mouths.
Yeah. Yeah. And a little problem this time around is we can't watch them on TV.
Oh, no.
I swear.
We can't watch opening day.
Not for free.
Colorado Rockies.
Not just on TV like you have every single year of their existence. Every single year, you've been able to flip the TV on and watch the Rockies.
Come on, man.
And this is just where we are at. Now, you can access them, right? Rockies.tv. It's going to cost you $99 for the year. I believe that's the case.
Man, so they're kind of putting you against the wall, talking about, hey, if you want to watch the Colorado Rockies, not for just one game, all right, you're going to have to pay $99 for the whole entire year.
Yeah, do we know? You can't do a la carte, can you?
I don't think you can, though. It looks like you got to either do it for the entire year, so you can do the Rockies.tv package, which is all the Rockies games, no blackouts, for $99.99. Or you can actually do the MLB.tv and combine that with the Rockies TV for $199.
Right.
So you can watch all the games, you know, throughout Major League Baseball.
I wonder how many people are going to do that second option, because I feel like, and I'm not reinventing the wheel here, but like baseball has become so regional.
Mm.
Like people in those, like football fans, dude, you could put Jacksonville and Tennessee on a Thursday night and I will watch it. Basketball, I'll watch the Celtics and the Sixers.
Yeah.
But baseball, I only watch the Rockies. And I don't, you know, Sunday Night Baseball, sometimes if there's a big matchup on Sunday Night Baseball and I'll throw a couple bucks on it and watch it on ESPN during the summer. But outside of that, are people going to pay for this? Forget the second option. Just, you know, Rockies. Are people going to pay $99.99 to watch a season that is on the heels of the first 100 loss season ever?
And they got a grade of an F going into this season before we even play a game.
Correct.
I guess the diehard baseball fans of the Colorado Rockies will definitely buy it because they're all in. But for just the regular person that just says, you know what, let's see what the Rockies are doing. They're not going to be willing to pay $99.
No. No.
Oh.
No.
Now, here's what I wonder, guys, because there is a monthly option. You could do a monthly subscription to a Rockies TV for $19.99. So maybe you start out April, May, and then by the time there are, you know, 25 games out of first place, then maybe you cancel at that point.
Okay, I like that.
But that'd be sticky with that, man. You start going to like Dish Network, you say, hey, I want to cancel this, and then all of a sudden your bill goes up even higher. You're like, what are we doing?
Yeah, they do kind of sucker you like that, don't they?
You know, that's all of them, though. There's always a catch to it. I just don't see them, Drew. I just don't see a lot of people saying, hey, let's go and pay for this $99 to watch a team that is listed as an F grade right now.
So doing this job, though, to just to personalize it, and I know you'll be able to watch it at home. You got your own little command center over there.
But get the Sopranos on the phone. Mafia needs to come get Zach out of here.
So I know, you know, I will be keeping tabs on the team.
Zach, you talk too much.
I told you, don't use the phone. Yeah. Don't use the phone.
Oh, man.
So, but seriously, like, the guys who do this job professionally in Denver.
Yeah.
All right. Are we all going to do this? Or are we just going to collectively ignore them? Because here's the thing. At some point this year, as bad as the Rockies are expected to be, I think they'll win 5 games in a row at some point this year. Actually, do you guys agree with that?
Yeah.
Do you agree that at any point this year, they will win 5 games in a row?
Yeah, it's baseball. Every team I think, pretty much wins five games in a row at some point during a 162-game season.
They're going to go on a heater at some point.
Okay. Like, we're going to have to talk about them. And I just, like, now you could, you know, kind of scheme it up without watching the games. Of course, you can do that. But
I'm just authentic.
I'm thinking it for myself. Like, I watch the Rockies. That's what I do in the summer. It's like I go to sleep with white noise in the background. The Rockies are my white noise of the summer. It's like the soundtrack. They're just, and what I mean by that is like they're just on in the background. Even if I'm not sitting down and focused on them, like I'll hear the pop of
the kettle corn, because that's what's gonna happen at the ballpark.
No, I was like, here, like the pop of the announcer, like Drew Goodman, you know, like, oh, I turn my, oh, like the Rockies just cleared the bases or something. And or there are some nights where I'll gamble on them and I'll watch every single pitch.
Yeah.
But it's like, you wanna know what? I think I'm gonna buy this. I think I'm gonna do it just
because. All right.
You wanna know why? And this is a sad reason. It's like, I'm gonna do it. And the reason why is because I'm gonna not do it. If that makes sense.
Is it like FOMO a little bit? Like fear, a little bit of fear missing out?
A little bit, but also doing this job professionally, I feel like I'm going to pay the $100 and I'm just going to have access to the game.
Are you going to start with the monthly, see how it goes?
I'll just pay the $99.
All right.
Yeah, I'll just pay it. Are you guys going to do this?
I am not. Now, here's the thing. So I actually already have the MLB.TV package. The fun part is I didn't have to pay for it because I'm a T-Mobile subscriber. So you get it for free through T-Mobile. No, I could do it as an add-on type thing, but I'm a diehard Chicago Cubs fan. I don't know how often I would tune into the Rockies, especially when they're not good. Now, if they get off to a hot start in April, like they sometimes do.
They do sometimes
then
do that.
Maybe I would be more inclined to do it. Otherwise, I'm probably going to just get on and watch the 15-minute condensed game and see what I need to see and kind of go from there. Mm.
You want to know what's crazy? I just looked through the entire schedule, all 162 games. Now, I don't know if this will get adjusted later, but from what I see on ESPN.com, there's not a single Rockies game on national TV this year. Not a single game.
Are you surprised, though?
Yes, because over so many games, I just figured that every Major League Baseball team would get featured at least once.
Yeah.
It's 162 games.
I think they had like maybe one or two last year, and they were like Saturday Fox games against like the Giants or the Dodgers, something like that.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, typically you run into the Dodgers, they want to put the Dodgers on TV, and they just happen to be playing the Rockies. And again, I don't know if this is locked in, but according to ESPN.com, under TV, there is not a single national TV game all year for the Rockies.
Well, this would be a good one for the Ramos Law.
.com,
yeah, to see what they're thinking. Are they going to buy the $99 one, or are they going to buy the monthly one?
Well, here, guys, here's a good text from the Ramos Law text line from the 623. It says, I would pay $99 to watch the Avalanche or Nuggets, but not doing it for the Rockies.
Mm. Yeah.
I think that might be the consensus. Most people would rather watch the Nuggets and Avs and not the Rockies.
Yeah. All right.
Sad.
It is. It's just sad. All right. What is Broncos owner Greg Penner saying about the Broncos being in a rebuild? And what's the update on a new stadium for the Broncos? You'll hear the owner's response coming up next. Is Broncos owner Greg Penner saying about the Broncos being in a rebuild? And what's the update on a new stadium? You know, at just maybe 10, 15 minutes after 5 o'clock, we're going to talk with Troy Rank, who sat down with Greg Penner. And look, he's never going to say anything that's going to end up on the front page of TMZ, right? Yeah. That's not how this owner is. Anyway. That's not how this owner is. And just in general, and I think I almost speak for both of us, we really like Greg Penner so far, right?
He's done a great job. He has done a great job, and he just got here. So I'm excited to see what Greg Penner does in the near future. He takes care of his players well. He's doing everything he can to make sure these players feel comfortable and have the best things that you can possibly have as an athlete.
Yeah. I also like, in addition to all the other stuff comes first, like the investment in the team and how seriously he's taking the investment and how personal it is to him. He's here.
Yeah.
Like Greg Penner is here. He is not flying in and out. He is at every game. He has moved here full time. And shoot, the only A that the Broncos got on their, well, I guess Sean Payton.
Yeah, two A's.
Yeah, it was Sean Payton and Greg Penner. It says a lot. It says a lot. But in addition to all that, I like, this is totally subjective, I like the way about him. He's clearly a smart guy, but he's not arrogant.
Mm.
He's a billionaire, but he's an understated billionaire. He's not like a money guy throwing it in people's face.
He's not showing everybody that he has all this money.
No, and he's gone about this process with, I think, incredible humility. I think he's learning a lot. And, man, times are not great with the Denver Broncos right now. But if you're looking for a source of optimism, big picture, I think he might be at the top of the list considering how much ownership matters.
Oh, ownership is the number one thing. You have to have a foundation, and that's what the ownership is. Greg Penner has put everything on a plate for everybody to kind of, you know, put together, right? And now it's for someone like Sean Payton to come in here and make Greg Penner look better. That's exactly why he hired Sean Payton. Greg Penner has given and given and given. He can't do no more. He's not the coach.
Right, right. He had a comment to Mike Kliss, by the way, because they sat down too.
Yeah.
And he had a comment to Kliss about, I am in the fold with the quarterback conversation. Mm. Now, he said, ultimately, I'm empowering those guys to make the decision. But this idea that Greg's just like maybe overseeing business, he has dove headfirst into the football operation. And I think just his mere presence, and I mentioned this during training camp, right before you and I started, just Greg Penner's presence at training camp. He would stand on the sideline with his arms crossed and watch the operation every single day. I think stuff like that matters.
Mm.
I do. Just the presence of an owner on the heels of not having that presence for years after Mr. Bolin got sick and this team was run by a trust.
Yeah, I mean, you can even go as far as saying for a general manager now, although we kind of give George Payton a lot of stuff, he was always there. I couldn't say the same for John Elway when he was the general manager. John Elway was never there. All right, and if he was there for a hot skip and a jump and he was gone, right?
And you would know you were there.
Oh, yeah, you've seen it, right? Because when you go into the place and you have the football field and you have the parking lot, you guys know that. You see it in there. You can see who's coming in and out.
Sure.
John Elway was never there, all right? At least George was there, and now you have an owner. We didn't have an owner when I was playing.
Right. Maybe that was part of the reason why John just came and went.
I mean, when you don't have a boss sitting in front of you telling you know what to do.
Right.
Like Zach and Phil, you guys need to hurry your stuff up.
Yeah.
Then we can just talk all day.
Right.
But when you have someone like Greg Penner that sits there and it's like, okay, like this is what's going on. This is what I see. Now it forces everybody to do work.
Yeah.
It forces everybody to do their job.
Yeah. And it's not even like a spoken thing. He's not barking orders. It's an unspoken accountability that the boss is here.
Yeah.
And everyone knows that. So it was interesting. So he said to Troy, he said, my expectation, and I know Sean's expectation, is still improvement this year.
Mm.
I am not into making bold predictions about the number of wins, but I think we are going to continue to get better, end quote. Improvement is a winning record if you finished 8-9. Is that the goal for the Broncos, to finish with 9 wins? That's like, you know,
that's what we want.
I would love that.
That's what we all want.
First winning season since 2016. But I just don't know how realistic it is. And so I'll spin the question. It's like, can you show improvement without the wins backing up some of the improvement? I don't even know if I know the answer to the question.
Okay, Zach, well, tell me this. When you're looking at this team, and we don't know because we don't have a quarterback sitting right in front of our face other than Jarrett Stidham, what would improvement look like in your eyes?
More competent game day decisions. Don't start your season with an onside kick with a 3% success rate and a 97% failure rate. Don't do that again, please. Don't call the wrong plays on game day because you can't see the play sheet. Don't do what you did against the Patriots in the closing minutes against Bailey Zappi. So clean up a little bit of the game day operation. But outside of that, I did see improvements this year. We talked about this yesterday. The special teams is competent for the first time in like 7-8 years.
Yeah.
The physicality of the football team severely increased to like a tangible level. So I was encouraged by a lot of the stuff I saw. But let's not ever forget, you moved on from Russ because your next decision gave you a better chance to win. Yeah. And if you win eight games and this next is a better chance to win, maybe we should be talking about the Broncos without kid gloves and saying, go win more games than you lose.
See, improvement to me, it's going to all come down to the quarterback. That's why everybody wants this young quarterback. They don't want to see Jarrett Stidham. They want to see a young quarterback because it gives them more excuses, right? Yeah, we may not win, but our quarterback is looking good. Our quarterback is going in the right direction because everybody knows if you don't have a quarterback, you're not going to win games. You're not going to go to a Super Bowl. So I want to see improvement in the quarterback position, and I want to see a young quarterback be the quarterback that's improving because now it's like we're on the right track. If it's not and it's Jarrett Stidham, then what improvement are we looking for? We better have nine games that we've won, not eight.
Yeah. All right, we're going to talk to Troy here at after the 5 o'clock hour on his sit down, and we will. I know I teased into it, so I apologize, but we will give you an update on what is going on with a potential new stadium here in Denver. Again, we'll talk to Troy about that at about 5:10. You're not going to want to miss that. But in the meantime, what happened last night in Denver sports was unusual. We'll tell you why coming up next. Happened last night in Denver sports that was unusual. And that was watching the Colorado Avalanche play 59 minutes and, let's see if I get this right, 17 seconds without scoring a goal. McKinnon puts one on the board 43 seconds into the game.
Yes.
And with all that firepower and all the friendly confines of Ball Arena and the best home team in the league against a losing Montreal Canadiens team, they lost. They lost 2-1, Phil.
How dare you blame Ball Arena and the fans in there for not helping us win?
Just adding some context.
Been a little dramatic.
They've been gangbusters at home.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, look, it was a sloppy game. Okay. Of course, Nate Dogg at least continues to extend his point streak, which I think everybody was on edge for. According to you, that's like kind of like it was like stiff in the air because Nathan McKinnon, when you were there, didn't have that point yet.
Yeah, when they were down, when they got down 4-0, I was on my mind.
Yeah.
And it was clearly, and this was on the game on Sunday. You could tell when McKinnon, I forget what happened first on Sunday. I think it was a goal from him or he assisted because he ended up with
the goal.
Okay, it was an assist with the goal because he ended up with both. Couple assists, I think, against Pittsburgh on Sunday. When they announced McKinnon for the assist, the arena popped as if the goal was scored at that moment. Mm. And so you could just tell collectively the fan base is so in tune and tied in with this point streak.
Yeah, and Nathan McKinnon made sure that people did not have to wait long. 43 seconds into the game, he scores a goal. Mm-hmm. I'm thinking, Zach, all right, we're playing a bad team, Montreal. We're getting ready to start. We're going to get on a heater. We're going to start having goals scored by everybody. Sean Walker's going to get another goal. Like, it was just that feeling. And then Montreal scores right back with 11 seconds into the game. Like 11 seconds later, they score. Then they score again. Second period, it was a dud. Like nobody was doing anything, you know. And then we had opportunities, and Montreal did a good job of just kind of sitting back, playing on the defensive side of the ball, or
the ice.
Sorry, guys.
You're good. You are good.
But it was one of these like ugly games that. In the grand scheme of things, I don't think it's a big deal, but it does suck.
Yeah, it's a little bit frustrating. And, like, if you were at that game and you got to your seat just a tick late, you didn't see anything offensively. I shouldn't say anything. I mean, but, like, you didn't see your team score a goal at home if you got to your seat 1 minute late. And you look at the power play, 0-for-3. Just two shots on goal in three power plays, that's highly unusual. So the McKinnon point streak is great, right? It's a home point streak is now up to 35 games, and his overall point streak is 19 games. But he already had a point streak of 19 games this season. What does that mean? Nathan McKinnon becomes the first player in NHL history to have two point streaks of at least 19 games in the same season. Add that to the long list of reasons why the Hart Trophy is on its way to Denver.
Yeah, man. Nate Dogg's been doing a great job with that. He's He's a superstar, man.
Truly.
Jokic, McKinnon. It's one of the things. They go hand in hand together. And it's great that we get to have it here in Colorado and see him. And the Hart Trophy is going to be Nathan McKinnon's.
It is. And this town, if that first statement is true about McKinnon, the Hart Trophy, and yeah. I believe that it is. I think it's a wrap. It'll be the second time ever that someone wins the Hart Trophy in the NHL.
Yeah.
And an NBA player wins the NBA MVP. You have to go back to the late 80s, Wayne Gretzky playing for the Los Angeles Kings, Magic Johnson playing for the Lakers. That's what type of rarefied air this is. We've been talking about that for a couple months, and now it's like, it's just coming into focus. Loss sucks, okay, but, you know, and I'm not going to sit here and, like, pat myself on the back about an Avalanche loss, but I remember we were on the air yesterday, I'm like, I don't have a great feeling because Montreal, 12 different times, has gone to overtime and lost. Like, they're playing people tight. If you look at their last month, it's, you know, a 3-2 loss on the road to Edmonton in overtime. It's a 2-1 loss against the Bruins in overtime. It's a 3-2 loss to Toronto. It's a 4-3 shootout loss to Tampa. 4-3 shootout loss to Florida. That's all in the last month.
Yeah.
So it's like, although their record's not great, but they've been competitive. And actually, Cale Makar talked about it after the game. He's like, my dad... This is Cale Makar. He's like, my dad was telling me, do not sleep on this team. Because I've been watching them closely, and they're blue collar, and they're going to show up and play hard. And that's what happened. And look, it happens. It happens.
You know, like, we want to win every single game, but it's going to happen. All right, Sean Walker didn't help that case. He had two major penalties.
Oh, my gosh.
You know, high-sticking.
Yes.
And put him in the box for, what, 4 minutes?
Yeah, double minor. Yeah, with just under 5 minutes to go, and you're down a goal.
You can't do that.
You just can't.
No.
You just can't.
No, it doesn't matter who you're playing.
Yep. And Sean Walker's been largely great, but that was a low moment for him. So you combine that with the power play struggles, and it's just it is what it is. Bednar was frustrated, but he didn't sound too concerned after the game.
We've been on a pretty good run here lately. Big emotional game. It's not. I mean, it can happen, right? You just don't have it every single night, but I'm still frustrating.
All right, so it is what it is. All right. Not to just chalk it up, but it truly just is what it is. Avs had won 9 games in a row. They will turn around and play the New York Rangers tomorrow. And that should be a really, really fun game.
Big tuna.
Dude, the Rangers they're legit, man. 48-20-4. They have twice as many wins on the road as they have losses. And this is Georgie's old home. This is. Georgie was the number two to Igor over there, and he's now going to get a chance to play his own team in Ball Arena, assuming he starts, and I think we're expecting that to be the case. So,
What's interesting about that as well? You said something yesterday about the Rangers being a comeback team as well.
Yes, right. These are the two comeback teams.
And now you have the Colorado Avalanche, you got the Rangers going head-to-head. That means that there's any given second, points are going to be scored. You can never be down on one of these teams, whether it's the Colorado Avalanche or the Rangers. So it's going to be one of these games where you're just all in. And it's a preview of what can be in store for us later on down the line, you know, if we can get past these playoffs.
Yes, it could be. There is a scenario, and that's way down the road. Like, even Deion Sanders thinks it's too far out to talk about.
We gotta talk about it a little bit.
But there is a scenario where the Rangers are representing the East in the Stanley Cup Finals and the Avs are representing the West. That would be fun. You're talking about drawing a rating? That would be freaking fun. So we'll see what it looks like tomorrow night. And in some ways, and you know I like doing this in general, like I like betting on teams when their stock just dipped.
Yeah.
And the stock for the Avs just dipped. The game before, in a team that they were supposed to beat, in a game before, like a big-time heavyweight fight like the Rangers. So you're going to get a fully focused Avalanche team at home. Can't wait till tomorrow night. We'll break that game more down tomorrow. But in the meantime, as we shift gears here, we have a playoff rematch on national TV for the Nuggets tonight. What's on the line as Kevin Durant and Devin Booker return to the Mile High City? That's coming up next.
On Denver's Sports Station, 104.3 The Fan. 180, crazy, thinking about the way I once did the heartbreak change me, maybe, but look at where I ended up. I'm on
song.
Got a big time game on ESPN tonight. A rematch of the playoffs. Suns, Nuggets. And tip-off is at 8 o'clock. You know the song, Phil?
I know it.
You do know the song?
No. This one?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'll turn that up, KJ. Don't show up. Don't come out. Don't start caring about me now. All right. You know how. Oh, this is in the rotation, baby.
All right, all right.
This record is getting spun. big time basketball game tonight. Nuggets, Suns, how big, we can talk about it, but it's Devin Booker, it's Kevin Durant. They're coming back to the Mile High City. It was a fun second round series, and it went six. Phoenix won two games last year in the playoffs against the Denver Nuggets, which was, by the way, more games than anybody else won. It was a gentleman's sweep against Minnesota. It went six against Phoenix, a sweep against the Lakers, and one of the most impressive sweeps for the Lakers of all time, if you ask Brian Windhorst.
Yeah, that was crazy. That kind of made me mad, man. I was like, what?
It's all-time stuff. It's like literally like some of like the funniest stuff of all time. Actually, I have it here.
The Lakers absolutely were terrific in going down in this series. I'm not sure I've seen a more impressive performance in a sweep ever.
I just can't believe that's real. I can't believe that's not AI. That's actually...
I've never seen a most impressive getting your butt whooped there than what the Lakers just did.
Dude, it's just 8 seconds long. I have to play it again.
The Lakers absolutely were terrific in going down in this series. I'm not sure I've seen a more impressive performance in a sweep ever.
That can't be real, but it is. no one else managed to beat Denver more than one time.
Yeah.
They go 16-4 on their way to a title. But half of those losses were against Phoenix. Since the All-Star break, Nuggets have two losses. One of them is against Phoenix.
Yeah.
And I'm curious, like, how is Phoenix a legitimate threat to you? Does it inspire a little bit of healthy fear?
In a seven-game series? No way. For some reason, they just don't spark any fear when it comes to the Denver Nuggets if the Denver Nuggets are fully healthy. Right, I don't see the Suns coming out and just finding ways to dominate in the paint versus Jokic and to stop Jamal Murray if we get the Jamal Murray we're expecting. Right, and if MPJ can come along and do what he's doing, like, there's just too many weapons, Zach, for the Suns.
Yeah, I agree. And if you remember, like, how it actually went down against Phoenix last year, it took basically like the most heroic effort that you will ever see from Devin Booker. Like, Devin Booker over the course of two, and this is real, because it's Devin Booker and he's capable this way. Devin Booker scored, like, man, and I'm trying to pull it up right now, in the one game, in game four, in which they won, Booker had 36 points on 14 of 18 shooting. 14 of 18. For 36, that's just insane. And then the other game in which Phoenix won, Booker went for 47 on 20 of 25 shooting. That's just blistering as hot as the surface of the sun. But when you have scorers like Durant and Booker and they intersect on the right night, they can beat the Nuggets a couple times. Beat them four times, though, I'm with you. I can't see that.
Yeah, they just don't have the firepower, and Durant's getting older. Booker's phenomenal, but it can't just be him every night scoring 40. That's not going to happen.
Right.
But for a game like tonight, prime time, 8 o'clock, they've came in here before and won in overtime.
Yep.
I could see something like that happening again. We don't know who's going to play for the Suns right now, but we also don't know who's going to play for the Denver Nuggets.
True.
We don't know if Jamal Murray's going to roll out there.
Correct.
Okay, Aaron Gordon was dealing with some stress fractures, I think, stress fracture issues.
Not a stress fracture. It was like a plantar fasciitis. Yeah, okay.
So it's like stress in the foot, right?
Stress in the foot.
I had that before. That sucks.
Yep.
And then Michael Porter Jr. dealing with what he's dealing with in his life.
Yes.
I think is one of the biggest reasons why he's had two off games. And I know everybody's like, yo, you guys are just, you know, I'm trying to make an excuse for Michael Porter Jr. But no, I really think that, like, when you have a lot on your mind, right, when it comes to your family, when it comes to your brothers, you know, it takes a lot out of you where you don't too much care about the game and you care more about what's going on in your life.
Yeah, and that's totally understandable. As while we've been on the air here, we've seen it come up on the screen, Jonte Porter gambling on himself to lose. You know, if I talked about this with you earlier today, had ESPN not been in bed with the NBA with billion-dollar contracts and partnerships, and then in addition to ESPN having a billion-dollar contract with Penn Gaming and the launch of ESPN Bet, I think this would be the biggest story in sports right now. But because the driver of news is ESPN, this story has actually been harder to find, which is just almost like mind-blowing.
It's bizarre.
That a story like, it's almost like Val, like last year in the playoffs, like, how is this story not bigger? Now Val gave my son a puck on Sunday, so he can do no wrong. I want Val to do whatever he needs to do to make himself comfortable, okay?
No, Val, don't be listening. We're going to need you.
Actually, Val, lower body injury, actually.
Yeah.
We didn't talk about that, and that's my mistake. It doesn't sound like anything, like, drastic, but it's also... It may keep him out of the lineup for a few games. We're still...
Well, it makes sense, because have you really heard from Val?
No,
a couple games, right? And maybe this is the reason why. So, yeah, maybe he does need a little bit of rest, because we definitely are going to need him for this cup run.
Yeah, when he came out of his absence, it felt like he, like, kicked the door down. But it has been a little bit. There's no question about it. I mean, that was coming out of the gate. What was his first game back? It was against Minnesota, and he scored in overtime.
He did. He scored.
And then he scored against Calgary, and then he scored against...
three or four games where he scored a goal in every game.
Yeah, it was three in a row, because it was against Minnesota out of the break, then it was against Calgary, and then it was against Vancouver, which was another overtime goal for Val. Since then, in the last 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, he's got one goal in the last five games, so you're right. Good point on you. It's kind of slowed down a little bit. So, okay, we'll continue to track that story. But back to the game tonight. Yusef Nurkic, we're still waiting on his availability. Haven't seen this. He plays Jokic tough. He plays him tough. Now, tough enough to slow him down in the playoffs when it's a fully motivated Jokic? No. But as it pertains to tonight, if he can't play, I just don't know anyone on that roster that's going to be able to hang with Jokic if Jokic shows up in the way that I think he can.
I can't argue with you with that. I mean, there's nobody else on that court that's going to be able to handle Jokic. And Nurkic is not handling him, but he does a better job. Yeah. He's like one of those thorns in his butt where it's like, man, like, you know, why are you doing this?
Right.
You know, but if he can't play, it's going to be easier for Jokic. It's going to be another Jokic triple-double, 30 points. Is what it could be.
Yeah.
But watch this game closely, Zach, because I don't have the greatest feeling about this game again.
Really?
Yeah.
What? You too, Kamaje?
What? You got Devin Booker that wasn't there last time, right?
Correct. Right.
He's coming in here. You got Kevin Durant. Now, Bradley Beal's not going to be playing.
We don't think. He left with a finger injury against San Antonio 2 nights ago.
So, say he doesn't play. If they get on a heater, right? Devin Booker gets on a heater. Durant gets on a heater. It's going to be hard to stop somebody like that. We don't know if Jamal's playing, right? We don't know if Aaron Gordon's going to play. You can't trust MPJ. So are we just going to roll out there and have Jokic be the man of the hour and think that we're going to win this game? I don't think that's going to be something that he can do. Everybody has to be ready to play. Now, you think everybody's going to be there.
I think everyone's going to be there for Denver, yeah.
And so if that's the case, we have a really good chance of doing it. But if that's not the case, watch out. It may be a tougher game than we think.
Interesting. You may be right. And ultimately, the results are going to be the results.
Yep.
I find myself on the opposite end of it, that I feel actually great about Denver tonight.
Okay.
I do. And, you know, because things went down the way they went down 2-3 weeks ago, they lose one of their two losses since the All-Star break. And I know Booker wasn't there. What was up with Booker? Do we remember why he didn't play?
I think it was a sprained ankle or something like that.
The game before he ended up twisting his ankle, yes. He came down wrong.
Yes, so. Yes. Thank you, fellas. But so he's in the fold, and you're right. On any given night, if Durant and Booker are on a heater, maybe you're right. But my big picture optimism, and I think you share this too, heaters are heaters because it's not sustainable. Over the course of a 7-game series, and we saw it a year ago, we saw the heater, and then they followed up with another heater. But then when you're asked to do that for a third time, for a fourth time, I don't think the Suns are constructed to honestly, I don't think they're constructed to win anything. Mm-hmm. I really don't. I think this is going to be an assembly of talent that ultimately goes down as a failure. I happen to like Devin Booker. I'm mostly a fan of Kevin Durant. Not so much with Bradley Beal. I think the NBA is a better place when the Suns are good. That town loves the Suns.
Yeah.
But I don't see any teeth to this
threat. In a 7-game series, no. But for tonight, it could be.
Yeah. How do you think MPJ responds after? And I want to shoehorn this one comment in.
Yeah.
Because we've been saying, like, MPJ hasn't played well two games in a row. Against Memphis, it wasn't that he didn't play well at all. He actually went 3 of 4 from three and 4 from 7 from the field, but he only took 7 shots. That's a little bit different when you finish with 11 points.
Yeah.
We're just looking for more. So I mostly agree, but he actually shot it well. So it's like both things are kind of true.
Yeah, he wasn't being aggressive.
No,
you know?
Right.
Me personally, I'm going to keep going back to it mentally. Like, if you're not mentally in the game, then don't play. Don't be out there. But if you're mentally in it and you're going to be out there, then you're going to have to be aggressive tonight. If MPJ is aggressive tonight, it's a home game. Jokic is there. You know he does well when Jokic is there.
Yeah.
It's a home game.
Yeah.
MPJ should have a really good night.
He should.
Really good night, especially if someone like Jamal Murray is playing as well, because it's going to take all the pressure off of him. But if MPJ's heart's not in it because he's distracted, then if I'm Malone, I wouldn't let him play, truly, because it's like you're not focused. We're not going to get the best of you. You end up being a liability if you're out there and you're not going to take shots.
Yeah.
Okay, because you can, but you don't want to. You just want to be out here. Then we can have somebody like Colin Gillespie who's playing, which I don't know why at this point.
I love Colin Gillespie.
Oh, he's doing good, but like it just doesn't make sense if he's not going to be in the rotation.
Yeah, and yes, and you're talking about playoffs, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, Colin Gillespie is not going to be playing for the Nuggets in the playoffs, not because he's not capable, although someone may hold that thought as well.
Yeah.
He's not going to be on the playoff roster. He's like the Nuggets would have to sign him to a new deal and make a cut, and they're just not going to do that.
Yeah.
So that is actually a good question. Like, why is Colin Gillespie playing as much as he is if he's not eligible to play in the playoffs? I mean, that's a fair question. KG, you got a stat for us?
I do. But to preference it, this question comes from RamosLaw.com text line. It is Zach in L.A.
What's up, Zach?
twin brother. Nurkic fouls out every time he plays Jokic. I'd like to know the stats on that because I bet it's more than half the time. I looked it up. Yusuf Nurkic has played Nikola Jokic 16 times.
Can I guess before you give the stat?
Go for it.
16 times, I'll say he fouled out in, I'm between 6 and, I'll say 7.
Figure you got to guess?
I'm going to say 9.
It's only 4, but he's collected 5 or more fouls 8 out of 16 times.
Okay. And the last time, I almost didn't like it because it looked like Jokic was more focused on trying to foul him out than he was in actually scoring. Because this has been an underbelly storyline between these two. So we'll see if Nurkic plays tonight. I got a clip from Shaquille O'Neal, who I love. But he may have said something. I didn't hear it for myself. But KJ just found the audio of something that Shaq said last night. And gonna play it. We're gonna try to control ourselves.